Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Noah, and I am here with my co-host,
Kayla.
According to the phonetics of this, the name in this movie would be Kayla.
Yeah.
That's what the name would be. But no, that's not how your name works. What are we talking about today? What's the topic of discussion?
We are talking about Disney's newest original animated film, Raya and the Last Dragon.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. There's a lot
It's not that bad.
Where was the last Disney? Was Frozen 2 the last like Disney one?
Yeah, like non-Pixar.
Cuz Mulan is live action. Was live action.
Yeah, Frozen 2. It's not like they release a ton of movies anymore.
Yeah, that's true. It's just weird, like, cuz Frozen 2 was 2019. So this is
Wow, was it that long ago?
Yeah, when November 2019. Frozen 2.
Crazy.
Wild. So yeah, now they're back with Raya and the Last Dragon. Did you know about this before, like in the last couple months?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't even remember when I first heard about it. I knew some things about it. I remember seeing like the first look pictures, and then when they released the trailer, I watched the trailer.
Well, that's more than I did. I honestly did not know this movie existed until like a month ago. But that's not really my thing. I mean, I think I maybe heard of it, but I don't really keep my eye on those things. It's not really my niche. But it did start development in 2018, I found out, as Dragon Empire.
Oh.
Which is a name.
Sounds kind of like How to Train Your Dragon. I don't know.
I mean,
like, that gives more How to Train Your Dragon vibes.
The premise kind of starts out like How to Train. If you just read the synopsis, it kind of sounds like How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, like they used to be friends with the dragon.
Yeah.
Something happened. The dragons are gone.
And now the humans have to figure it out. Yeah, it's basically the same thing. Then it was announced in August 2019 at the Disney like Expo thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What was interesting is that Cassie Steele was going to play Raya at first, and they didn't announce the change in cast until August of 2020.
Wow. So not even too long before promotional stuff started coming out.
Exactly. I mean, I assume, obviously, the change was made way before then. But
low-key, I didn't know that she was even in this because, like, I just kind of watched some stuff about it, I guess, until...
Yeah.
I guess there were some interviews and stuff with her a couple weeks leading up to it. And I was like, oh, cool. Good for her.
Yeah, same.
I
mean, I didn't know anything
Kelly
about
Marie
it before.
Tran.
But that made me kind of more excited for it when I found out a couple of the cast members. And that one of the directors was the director of Blindspotting, which
I saw that. That's
is
crazy.
An interesting choice for them. But, you know,
yeah.
We like it.
And then the director of Big Hero 6.
Yeah, so it was originally going to be Paul Briggs, but then August 2020, they announced they were changing directors. So August 2020 was just a big, a big time for this movie.
Are you a fan of Big Hero 6? I don't know that we've ever talked about it.
Not really.
I think I've seen it. What's really funny is I used to work at a daycare, and I still work at a daycare, but like a different daycare.
A different daycare.
And I would come in very early for the morning shift, and usually there were a couple kids that had already watched the movie. And I watched the end of Big Hero 6 probably four or five times before I ever saw the beginning of it.
And what did you think once you finally got those precious hours?
I mean, I'd already seen
the
end, so it kind of spoiled it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fine. I mean, it's not my favorite, but I think
it's
an
not bad
movie.
I just think I just don't think a lot of the emotional moments work for me. But you know, it's also Big Hero 6, so whatever.
Right. Anyway,
background research: I found out the filmmakers and production team traveled to a lot of different Southeastern Asian countries, which is cool to do research. I mean, a lot of people do this for research, but it's cool they tried to. It's obvious from even the animation style.
Yeah,
they tried
to make it authentic.
Pull from all those those inspiration, you know.
And art styles, specifically, I think, too.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get into that. But there are, like, some moments throughout that weave in different art styles, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I mean, I would have rather there'd be more of that.
Yeah.
But there's a couple. Yeah. There's, they give you a little bit.
Yeah. So it was written by both a Vietnamese and Malaysian writer, which is good.
Yeah, I just wrote that it kind of somewhat offsets the fact that, like, the directors themselves aren't Asian, which I did. I kind of assumed they would be when I was watching this, and then I looked, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then never mind.
I mean, I'm impressed that Disney even had
the writers.
The writers.
Yeah. It's halfway there, living on a prayer.
Small steps. Disney's always halfway there. Always. It's like...
so close, guys.
I feel
guys.
Like they're so close, but so far all the time.
So, originally going to be released theatrically November 25th last year.
Thanksgiving
obviously,
movie.
That got pushed. I mean, and that makes sense because they always have either a Pixar or a Disney animated movie released during Thanksgiving.
Frozen, the first Frozen movie released over Thanksgiving, I think, because my family and I went and saw it in the theaters.
Yeah, yeah, I know that because, yeah, that's like a tradition that our family has is that on Thanksgiving we'll go like, well, the day after Thanksgiving we'll all go like a bunch of us to the theater and watch like whatever movie they released that day. But obviously last year that didn't happen because nothing came out.
Right.
But now this movie was pushed to March. Actually, it was like a week before the 5th of March, and then they moved it up ahead. This movie just had a ton of changes. And it's the second movie, though, to be released on Disney Plus with premiere access. So this and Mulan were the two, which is interesting because I feel like out of the three big movies they've done on Disney Plus, which have been Mulan, Soul, and this, Soul is the only one I can see a lot of people paying $30 for. So it's interesting that they decided that one to be the one that was free.
Yeah, it's just really, I don't understand the marketing. I don't really understand premiere access.
Maybe because too, both this and Mulan, I think Mulan too, but definitely this released in theaters along with it on Disney Plus. So it's not just premiere access. You can also see this in a theater if it's by you. And it didn't do that bad. It grossed like around 8.5 million in the first week in America. And as of March 12th, it's earned 27 million worldwide.
Wow.
So not bad, especially considering like obviously not all the theaters are open right now.
Yeah, especially in America.
I'm assuming most of the money is coming from like China or other territories just because they have more stuff open than we do.
Yeah. RIP.
Yeah. Oh, man. Critical response so far, it's been good. This was not surprising to me, but I feel like I've seen more like critical praise of this than other movies, like that Disney, like than Frozen 2,
yeah,
or even stuff like Moana, which like did get good press. But this has gotten like maybe because there's not much coming out right now, so it's like finally something to talk about, yay! But it has a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is
wow, that
high.
Is. Very high.
It's quite high.
Yeah, quite high.
Yeah, I don't really read the reviews that much. Like I read a couple things. I think I read they like animation, obviously, which I mean, at this point is a given.
Yeah.
Some of like, I don't know. Like, what's not? I won't talk about my thoughts too much now. But it has been criticized for the lack of Southeast Asian representation in the cast. Because most of the cast comes from East Asia and only 5 are from Southeast Asian descent. And obviously, like, a lot of the film is, like, the location is heavily based on Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's been kind of criticized for that. But Kelly Marie Tran is Southeast Asian. So at least, like, the main character of the film is. But that has been something that's been criticized for. Do you have any thoughts about the production, about the cast, about the
not,
critical response?
I do not. None.
Yeah.
Not when we get into things, I have some thoughts about
okay.
some of those
nice.
things.
Nice.
But...
So how this will work, if none of you have listened to our, like, either Pixar or Disney kind of reviews, all of our, like, contemporary reviews, we usually do a non-spoiler section in the beginning, and then after the ad break, we'll be back with some spoiler sections. So there isn't, like, a lot to spoil in this movie. I mean, there is, but it's also just, like, an animated movie, so I don't know how much people would care. But we will try our best in this section not to, like, talk about too much of, like, the big plot elements. Do you want to read the summary we have here?
Yes, I would love
about
to.
About Raya and the Last Dragon.
Long ago in the Long ago in the fantasy world of Kumandra, humans and dragons lived together in harmony. Isn't that like the same opening line of How to Train Your Dragon?
Harmony. It definitely is.
However, when sinister monsters known as the Droon threatened the land, the dragons sacrificed themselves to save humanity. Now, 500 years later, those same monsters have returned, and it's up to a lone warrior to track down the last dragon and stop the Droon for good.
That lone warrior being
Raya.
The titular Raya, yes. Yeah. A lone warrior. So mysterious.
So, my very first thought that I just have to say while it's in my brain, have you seen the Twitches movie on Disney?
No.
Like the original Disney Channel DCOM? So it's like a Halloween movie and it's called Twitches. And
I know of it, yes.
There's a darkness basically that is consuming the land, and the twin witches need to help save the land and their mother and everything. It looks just like this.
The way they animate the darkness?
Yeah, like it's purple and black and...
A little fishy there. I mean, it's Disney, so...
Actually, it might be more red, but like it reminded me of that. Like the whole clouds coming in and taking over.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I feel like
tropey.
So many kids' movies have done that. Yeah.
It's very tropey.
It's like a little overdone now. Like, because I mean,
darkness is coming.
And it kind of is like, in this movie, there's not really a antagonist. I mean, the antagonist is just the darkness you get, you know.
Well,
and
I would
mean,
say that What's-Her-Face is kind of an antagonist.
She is, but it's like, she's, I don't know. It's just weird. Like, I feel like I would have. I don't know. I don't need, like, someone to be behind the darkness, but just weird that, like, it just shows up and there's no explanation for why it's there. It's just, like,
a mythical story, though.
This is the dark stuff. This is the fog.
No, yeah. I get what you mean.
So, this movie, what did you think when it was over or during it, you know? What were your main thoughts?
I thought it was fine. I don't know. I feel like I was expecting a little more. It wasn't like I was super looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. I was excited to see new original content from Disney. Mm-hmm. I feel like we need more of that. I think it was good that we were getting kind of what seemed like a more different and unique approach. We are getting a leading female hero, which I think is a big deal. Also, a person of color as that leading female hero, another big deal. So there were aspects of it that I was looking forward to. Mm-hmm. I didn't know much about the plot going in, apart from there being a dragon. The last dragon.
There was the last dragon.
The very last one. And yeah, I would say I don't know that I was disappointed just because I didn't have a lot of expectations. But I was not impressed, I guess. Like, I didn't walk away from it being like, oh my God, that was so good. Like already putting it on, you know, lists or whatnot. But
yeah.
Yeah. What about
you? Yeah. I would agree. I don't think like it's necessarily bad. I just think it's very mediocre.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Mediocre is a good word.
And just forgettable. Like, I feel like in a couple months, I just won't even remember this movie exists. Like, it's not, it didn't give me anything different that I haven't got from movies like this before.
Yeah, and it's not something that I would ever revisit either.
No.
Which is disappointing.
No. Yeah, especially for people that paid $30 for Premier Access, and then that's like, oh, I guess I have to rewatch this to get my money's worth.
Yeah, no. Right. Yeah. Like, it's definitely one of those wait a month to see movies. Like,
yeah, definitely if you're listening to this and you're like, should I pay $30 to see this? Just wait until it comes on Disney Plus, because Mulan eventually came for free, so it's like one of those things, just wait until
you
put it on there. Yeah, I had a similar feeling. Yeah, and I really didn't know what the story was going to be either. Like, I think the only time I never saw trailers for this, and the only time I read anything about the plot was like on the Disney Plus page when I opened the movie, and it was just there. And I was like, okay, right, let me read to see what this is about.
Well, the story was definitely the worst part.
Well, we don't want to do too many spoilers,
but yeah,
I think we could talk a little bit about the beginning, like the first 30 minutes, like
how
it's set up.
Yeah, maybe
with
some
the time
of
jump.
The like animation and production value and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Cause the beginning is interesting, right off the bat, because it's kind of, this isn't really a spoiler, but there is like a 6-year time jump, like 20 minutes in, mm-hmm. but I don't think you really go into it expecting that, like, unless you had seen trailers, because obviously she's going to be older in the movie, but I didn't know that. I was like, I guess maybe she's just a kid, I have no idea. But the beginning is interesting because they're doing all this world building, similar to how like they did in Moana, where it's like there's a map and then they kind of go through the map a little bit.
Yeah.
But one thing I did like is how they have to explain each of the 5 different areas. And each of the 5 areas had, like, their own, like, little animation style, which I
loved
was
it.
Kind
of...
I was hoping
a note about that, too.
It was so good. And I was hoping they were going to do that, like, because I figured they were going to go to all 5 of these worlds in the movie. And I was hoping, like, oh, wait, are they going to change animation styles everywhere they go?
Oh, man,
but
that would be so cool. Yeah, I wrote that I love the animation used in the cutscene when she was explaining the different lands. I thought that was very clever. Mm-hmm. I thought that was also an animation style that Disney does not really use. And it was cool to see them use something different. And I was like, dang, they should have made the whole movie in this. Because it just
That's exactly
is,
what I was thinking. It reminded me of Spider-Verse, some of it.
Yeah, and it almost also felt more like the vibe of the movie. Like,
yes,
that specific
like
animation
book-y.
Style felt like the vibe of the movie, but instead they kind of did the cutesy, like, bubble eyes and whatever. I don't really know what to call it, but, like, the Pixar style,
basically. The worst style of all time.
One thing I didn't like about that scene in the intro that I feel like isn't a spoiler is I felt like they set it up to have to, like, over-explain everything. Like, it didn't feel very natural. Like, when they explained the 5 lands, it was because the dad was basically inviting, because he is
the leader of the Heart, which is
the land that they live in. And he was basically inviting the other lands. And she, like, was like, oh, we're going to, like, fight him, because she's this cute, feisty, you know, girl who's into that kind of thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay, well, tell me about each of the lands. And I was like,
oh my gosh, yes.
Like, the very, like, telling lead-ins to things, I just thought were over-explained, I guess. Or, like, it just didn't feel natural and authentic. It felt like very a draft of a script where they had to figure out, you know, something else, but they just left it in there. And I was like, why? Because it sort of pulled me out of it.
The whole before the time jump feels just so exposition-y. Like, even the fact, like, the darkness is coming, and they're like, oh, wow, the darkness doesn't like water. And, like, okay, well, obviously that's going to be coming up soon. It just felt very much like setting up the characters. I mean, and obviously that's what it is, but it was very in your face. Like, every piece of dialogue was there to, like, give you, like, okay, this is something that you're going to need later, so don't forget about this thing. And there's just so much in this. Like, I'm wondering, like, if kids even would be able to pick up, like, on everything in that first 5 minutes where they explain, like, the lore.
Yeah.
Of like, I mean, the Heartstone.
It happened so fast. It was hard for me to even follow it.
Yeah, there's just a lot, and it's I think it's cool that they decided to kind of like to set up that all up. But in my review, and this is kind of like what maybe will come back up, but to me this just felt like a D&D game where it's like in the first 5 minutes, like you have the game master setting up like the lore of the world, and then there's like all these lands, and you're like, and you're just kind of like, okay, fine. But that's what it felt like. It's kind of
well, and also it's like a fetch quest the first half the movie as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it really leads
sure.
into that same
and I
concept.
Mean, we meet all these wacky characters along the way, and they join the team, you know? And so it's basically just that. And that's not a bad thing, but it does feel very much like not natural, you know? Like the world didn't feel like, even in Big Hero 6, which we talked about a little bit, that world felt a lot more natural because it's not like they didn't have to explain why this town, like what this town is, you know, or the city. It's just kind of like what it is, and you just kind of get the vibes from the different scenes. They don't have to be like, and then the robots came up and did this, and that's why they're in the street corner fighting robots. Like, sometimes too much lore. Animation-wise, it's good animation. At this point, I don't really care. Because it's like we've seen it in this style. It's been so good for like a few years now where it's kind of not impressive anymore. Like it is. It's like, wow, this looks really cool. But I'm much more impressed with different stylistic techniques.
Yeah, like unique, more unique. One thing that I wrote down that surprised me is there was like added grain. I don't know if that was something you noticed.
No, I didn't.
So we have like a projector is our main TV. So it's obviously a much bigger screen to kind of take in some of those aspects. And there was like grain. Like it looked like film grain. And I thought it looked good. It wasn't as noticeable in certain scenes, but when she when it cuts to that first 6 years later and she's like going through the desert.
That's a cool scene.
I noticed a lot of that in that, and I thought that was cool and creative, and I wrote down like with a bunch of question marks, like grain and animation, like because animation is so crisp usually and very clean, and so I liked that, you know, they kind of stretched it a little bit to get a little more creative, but I also was like,
I agree.
I think normal person is not going to notice this, so
it's a little much. But that desert stuff was actually, I do think, was cool. I think as the movie went, it got a little more and more plain because you kind of go through all five of these worlds or lands in order. And I actually thought, I mean, what you usually would think is that the lands are going to get more and more complex, but for me, they kind of got less and less interesting as they went. Like in the final, the penultimate one, there's like one person living there. And I mean, I know it makes sense for the story, but it felt like so, it felt so inconsequential to the other lands because everything else was so, that came before, was so populated and interesting to look at, like the land on the water. I forget the names of all these lands. But then, I don't know. I thought that the earlier lands were just more interesting. And as it went, and you realize, okay, so they're just going to be going through trying to get a piece of one of these stone pieces from each of these lands. It kind of gets a little monotonous until you kind of, the last 20-ish minutes, I guess, are a little different.
Yeah, it goes from like, well, never mind. I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, yeah. But there are some cool characters that we have in each of the lands, which some of them, I think, pull on tropes, like the big, lovable, tough guy.
Yeah.
And
who's a dick? Oh, as soon as they... Oh, sorry. Spoiler.
I like the kid, though. There's a kid, and he's nice.
Yeah, he was probably my favorite character.
Yeah.
The little boy just trying to cook and live on his boat. I thought that he was very interesting. He kind of was just, like, needed company, and he just lived on this boat, and obviously people were not coming to his boat for his food, his little restaurant, And then they were like, do you live on the boat? And he's like, duh, because of like the water. And it just like all sinks in, and you're like, oh, that poor child.
He was great. What did you think about well, here's what we haven't really talked about Raya, so maybe we can just talk a little bit about her character.
Okay.
What'd you think about her, the main character of this quest?
I didn't like her. I
Oh.
felt like she just was so. They wrote her very basic. Like, grows up learning how to fight and protect and cherish old lore and myths and her town or whatever. And then, you know, throwing in the parent trope, and she has to go on a quest to save her family. And I feel like had a lot of the same character traits that a lot of those characters usually tend to have, that are like not trusting other people and they want to do it on their own, and they have to learn a lesson. And I don't know. I just like, I wish they would have made her more interesting, because I think some aspects of her character were really interesting, like the way she fights, kind of other motivations of her character. I just think she could have been a lot more dynamic, and she felt very one note in the way that a lot of these kind of hero movies write their characters.
I agree. And what's weird is that the reason I believe they cited that they replaced the actress that was playing her with Kelly Marie Tran was that they kind of rewrote her character to be like more like Peter Quill from Guardians of the
Ooh,
Galaxy,
no,
which
why?
did
Yeah,
not.
that's kind of actually true. As soon as you said that, I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's. It, she just didn't
yikes.
seem like her own character. It felt like kind of an amalgamation of other kind of hero types that we've already seen. And for that reason, I really didn't like have any emotional connection to her. Like, I think the most emotional connection I had was to that the boy, the kid on the
Yeah.
boat.
I mean,
He
just
was the
like I said,
best.
like that, his storyline was so simple, and his was the only one that I was like, oh my God,
I feel like
like
he would have been a great main character for this
a
movie.
great lead. I we
We would
stan.
let's get him on this. Him and then you could still have kept like the little animal companion roly-poly guy because I
Yeah.
thought he was. I did like him
Hoofcliff.
better when he was little. I was a
Yeah,
little
he was a lot
disappointed when
cuter.
he grew up. I was like, oh man. Anyway, what about? So we talked about Raya. What about the last dragon? What about her? Awkwafina played her, by the way. We haven't even mentioned that, but that was kind of like it was kind of set up as like these the buddy comedy kind of thing, you know, where you got two people.
Yeah, my note was LOL, not good.
I don't like it at all. I didn't like it
I
at all.
think I love Awkwafina. I think she was a terrible choice for this role.
Yeah, it
I
didn't fit.
think her voice is way too distinct for something like this, and it really took me out of the character. I thought a lot of the ad-libbing that she apparently did just didn't work at all. It didn't fit the vibe. I thought the humor of that character, the
It
way it was
was.
written, was very old and not relevant and not funny. And her character was just like really annoying.
She was so annoying, and the humor was the worst kind of Disney humor because she makes this joke when you first meet her about, like, you know, it's. I don't. This isn't word for word, but it's basically like the classic joke. Like, you know, when you're on a group project and everyone does their little things, but you're the one that turns in the assignment, which is one of those jokes where, okay, so does that mean these dragons have group projects and they have school? Like, it doesn't make sense in the world. I mean, it just takes you out of it where they have those jokes that are obviously like trying to speak to the audience,
Yeah.
like relatable, but it's
And when we
funnier
get
if you make
into spoilers,
jokes
I
that.
have some other comments
About her
about
character.
her. Yeah.
I
Yeah,
didn't really
just
like the
not
design of the
funny.
dragon. I didn't,
Oh, good. Can we talk about that now? Okay. So I wrote a note in my notes that I was like, the dragons are really different. And I was kind of trying to mentally figure out why they would make the dragons look like this. I think obviously in Asian
Culture.
pictures and stuff, the dragon, yeah, like Asian the art form. The yeah. dragons are usually designed as like longer and skinnier, mm-hmm. something you might see in like Spirited Away. And yeah. I think they probably had to choose a design that was different from like How to Train Your Dragon, and also choose a design that was different from stuff that Studio Ghibli uses. Mm. And that was kind of my line of thinking. And then my mom, because we watched it as a family, my mom mm-hmm. said something that was really interesting, and I was like, yep, that's why. But she was like, they made them like that and fuzzy and furry and long and fluffy because they want to sell stuffed animals of them.
Yeah.
And I mm-hmm. was like,
long ones, yeah.
Yep, that is so true, because you know that they're going to crop up, because this is an easy marketable merch option for when people go to the parks and are like, oh, Raya and the Last Dragon, they can see the dragons and maybe like something of Tuk Tuk. But I thought that was really interesting because I think marketing like that does inform a lot of Disney's decisions. That's something that we've seen with Cars, I would say, is one of the bigger examples. It's very easy to sell toy cars. Gotta stuff like it. that dictates, you know, what they can sell off right. the movie.
Well, I mean, you've got the dragon and then the little roly-poly guy will be the two main, like, stuffed animals they'll sell, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. You can look – that's so true. You can look at all these movies and look at, like – okay, so that's something they're going to sell. Like, the sword she has that kind of has, like, that comes apart a little bit.
Yeah.
They'll sell that for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Who knows? Maybe they'll even sell, like, the recipe that the kid used for, like, the soup he made. There's so many options.
Yeah, so what did you think of the design of the dragons and stuff?
I mean, they were definitely different. And I thought one thing I did kind of think was cool is like the way that they didn't have wings. I don't know if I loved the way they made them quote unquote fly, like with the steps in the air.
Yeah.
But it was interesting like that they didn't have wings. So it like kind of makes it distinct. I don't know. I mean, maybe I think they tried to make the dragon act too human in its, when it was walking, doing like when it's doing things. And then they kind of, like, halfway through the movie were like, actually, we're just going to make the dragon a human now because
we don't really want to animate. Some really we don't want to
animate the dragon anymore.
That's kind of like what it felt like to me, too. Like, they were just trying to, I don't know, in certain scenes, try to make it easier for them to not have animate. To put a dragon in a big village with a lot of people. Stuff like that.
Yeah, like kind of solving a problem by going backwards.
I also felt like, I mean, I don't know that this is a spoiler. I guess we're kind of in spoiler territory at this point.
Yeah, we'll wrap this up soon to go to spoilers. But,
but here's maybe a spoiler comment. Is the dragon didn't really do anything cool. Like when they were kind of like fighting off the bad guys. Or the dragon was, it was basically just made a cloud of smoke both times. It was just like pew, smoke, and then they like flew off or whatnot, ran off. And then like the dragon could swim fast and
multiple times they mentioned that one. Yes, yeah, they wanted to make sure we knew. Swim.
And yeah, that's just not interesting to me. I kind of would expect a dragon to do a little more.
Yeah.
And even they showed the flat... Oh, sorry, that's a spoiler.
We'll get into that. Yeah, we'll get into a couple reasons why she doesn't do anything, too, which is kind of annoying. But before we do that, kind of final thoughts. A lot of stuff I said is negative. I don't think this is necessarily a bad movie. I think it's perfectly passable to... I mean, I think kids will enjoy it. I just don't think it's like... I go into these kind of like Disney animated movies because they're so few and far between, like expecting something a little, at least one thing that's kind of unique to the movie, like it to offer at least one kind of interesting thing that I haven't seen before, and I really didn't get any of that in this. It felt like just a bunch of stuff that I've seen before kind of mixed together and like, here you go. I don't think it's awful, but just definitely not my favorite. Would you echo that? Anything you want to add before we go to spoilers?
No, I don't have anything to add. I pretty much feel the same way.
All right. Well, let's do a ad break now. And then when we come back, we'll talk about some spoilers for this Disney Kids movie.
All right, let's jump into some spoilers here. Since we were just talking about the dragon, why don't we just finish talking about the dragon?
Yeah, sure. They kill her for a while. And then that sucks because she's not in the climactic battle, which is the way you'd expect the dragon to do all the cool things in the climax. But instead, they're like the family come together Beatles kind of stuff. It's like, come together, we'll put the pieces together,
yeah,
and it's over.
Yeah,
it's a little sad.
Yep, I have a lot of thoughts about that. I also thought it was interesting that, like, she was basically the one that told Raya, like, oh, mm-hmm. we gotta trust. And that just felt really annoying because the dragon had been really annoying the whole time and kept saying all these stupid things, like plans and thoughts. But, like, the dragon felt, I'm going to be honest, kind of dumb. Like, just the way it talked and communicated and interacted. And I just thought when it finally came down to that moment where she, like, told Raya they needed to trust Namari, mm-hmm. it was all of a sudden, like, she was this wise dragon, I guess. And so
yeah,
it just
but
felt
she hasn't
very,
been saying anything new.
Yeah, it felt very off-base and out of character, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, it was a little, and I mean, to the
and the
audience.
Whole thing was about the last. Okay, here's my other problem. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're fine.
The whole thing is about this last dragon where she's trying to find the dragon to, like, save them.
Yeah.
What did the dragon do? Nothing. The dragon did not save anything. She didn't need to find the dragon at all. She could have made this journey all on her own to get the pieces and put them together, and because, like, it was the people
so
that ended up saving it in the end. Like, the dragon served absolutely no purpose except to what? Show up to Namari, and then Namari was, like, killed it? I don't get it.
They would say, if you told the writers this, they would say that the dragon taught Raya the lesson of trust, and if she hadn't been there, she wouldn't have trusted Namari.
I feel like she could have learned that from her dad.
Yeah, she could have learned it in multiple ways without the annoying dragon,
like with a flashback or something.
Maybe this whole story really didn't need a dragon. They didn't have to have dragons in the land. They could have done anything else.
No, it could have just been the stone with magic.
Yeah, I think I think we should just Raya, just Raya. That's the movie.
Yeah,
no
Raya
last dragon.
And the heart stone or whatever.
Raya and the guy in the boy with the soup.
Raya and the gang.
Raya and gang. It's just like, and then the end was also very Guardians of the Galaxy, where they're kind of standing in, like, swirling stuff, and they hold hands.
And they're
hands,
all going to die, and they come,
like,
together.
And then she almost leaves again. Namari, almost three times. She was about to leave.
Such a terrible character.
She was so annoying every time. And it was so funny because, okay, the first time when they were kids and they went into, like, the thing where she kind of first betrays her, my sister was like, oh, she's probably going to betray her. I'm like, no, she's not. And then she did. And then they were on the cliff. And then she was like, oh, she's probably going to shoot the dragon. I'm like, she's not going to shoot the dragon. And then she shoots the dragon. And then they're in the cloud. And she was like, oh, she's probably going to leave with the stones. Like, she's not going to leave with the stones. And then she almost did. It was so crazy. So frustrating.
I did write as well. I like that you brought up the Guardians of the Galaxy thing. Because I did write in my notes. I originally had written, I don't like fetch quest movies because I thought the whole thing would be like that because that was kind of how they set it up. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, wait, that was only the first part, I guess. And now it feels like a Marvel battle. Like,
yes.
It felt very Marvel to me. Not even just Guardians of the Galaxy,
yeah.
but the kind of change of pace. You look at something like Endgame or Infinite. I don't know. I get the two mixed up. Endgame, yeah, where they're trying to go back in time to get all the stones. And they kind of like do this, and the whole first half of the movie is getting these gems that felt very similar to getting the stones in Endgame, and then it ends with this like big battle where people sacrifice themselves. I don't know. It just felt very.
Endgame-y. Yeah. It's all.
Yeah. Very Disney.
It kind of switches tone halfway through. And there was a couple times where I thought it was going to be like a heist scene going into the town, and every time it wasn't. It was kind of sad. Like, they especially there was the one time where they planned this whole heist, and then the dragon was like, actually, let's just be friends. Let's try to just ask her nicely. Like, I think the heist would have been a much better.
Okay, that whole scene. Trope, too, of the dragon, like, let's give him a gift every single time. She's like, let's give him a gift. We should take a gift. Let's be nice. Kindness, give him a gift. I was like, oh my god, shut up, like, no one.
And it
wants
failed
a gift.
Multiple times. It didn't work. Because she got betrayed by the old lady. There's another time, I think, and then she got shot too. So.
Yeah, well, she took the gift to the door of the one with the big guy,
big
muscly dude, and he like captured them and put them in a bag.
So if anything, the dragon actually hindered the quest. Not helped. I was also surprised that they found the dragon so fast. I kind of assumed the whole movie would be about finding the dragon.
Apparently, she had been hunting for this dragon for 6 years, so we kind of got to the very last stop of her hunt. And it was, like, so quick. Like, she just kind of went in there and then was like, dragon, come. And then, like, all the water rose up and the dragon just, like, showed up. It was really weird. Like,
and no one's done that? No one's decided to do that for 500 years?
It all felt way too easy. Like, all of those things. Like, when they went in to the first gemstone thing. And they kind of just go through, and there's like a couple booby traps, and that's it. And then
they
got the stone.
Indiana Jones, I think, twice, actually.
And then they just like run out, and then they're like, all right, let's go get the next one. And then they walk in and get it and walk out. Like, they made it seem like it was this really complicated, difficult task. And it was like, geez, you should have just gone and got all the gemstones in the first place. Like, this was very easy to steal these from these apparent. Like, lands that have been protecting them for 6 years.
Well, yeah, even with the water village with the old lady kind of thing, where she's trapped and then Raya just kind of comes in and takes her away. And then they sit on the boat for, like, 30 seconds just chatting. And, like,
I thought the same thing. I thought they would, like, get to the boat and be like, go, 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 go! But then they're just, like, sitting there, like, we got it. And then even the one where the muscly guy, I don't even remember the name of that one, they like didn't even say that they had the gem. Like, they got back on the boat with the muscly guys, like, I'll come with you guys. And then he's like, oh, I guess you'll be needing this, and like pulls the gem out of the satchel. And I'm like, were you there for the gem? Like, why was that not your top priority to, like, get this gem that you came for? Like, it just all felt very, I don't know.
There's a lot of stuff where it's, like, it just didn't really work very well. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Raya and Namari kind of thing?
Yeah, the
discourse?
Queer baiting?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. It's queer baiting. See, here's the thing. I knew that they would not be together because we definitely would have heard about that. We would have seen, I don't know, some 1 million moms protest. But when they first were kids, and I mean, not to like stereotype, but they did make her hair a certain way and called her undercut because it's like that.
Captain undercut,
baiting.
Mind you.
And even as kids, I was like, oh, like, you know, little girlfriends. And then she, like, betrayed her, and I was like, oh, enemies to lovers, girlfriends. And then, like, they had all this sexual tension the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, it's like, oh, friends forever. Glad we're friends now. And it was like,
they're friends.
It's really not that hard to do a simple relationship thing. I mean, it has happened in every other movie, like with Anna and Kristoff and stuff like that, where you could just do a little nod to it in the end, you know? Like, just it doesn't even have to be over. A big deal. I mean, not even a kiss. I mean, like,
hug.
That
just
would
hug.
Be great. but, like, just something even... I mean, I can't even think of an example, but something, like, similar that kind of makes it more canon instead of just this, like, massive subtext.
They hold hands and walk into the sunset.
Yeah, like, I mean, why not? It's a Disney movie. Like, I think it would work. It would be fine. Yeah, it just felt very Disney in their approach to representation, where they're like, oh, we'll kind of like give them this, but not really. And I think that Disney needs to step out into this territory and just make leading queer characters. And they really set it up here and had the perfect opportunity. I mean, literally, like, it was all right there.
I mean, they've had it in Frozen. They had it in Frozen 2.
They
had it, they've had it multiple times.
I feel
times.
Like this was, like, very, very, very in the forefront, on the brink. Like, there's no way they're not girlfriends.
Even, like, the first draft maybe was, and then they sent it to Disney, and they were like, close.
It's just very disappointing. This. Like, it's 2021. If you're not going to do it, like, don't put these other lines in to, like, tease it.
Right, because we're kind of... The subtext thing is kind of just over now, you know? Like, we don't want that. Yeah. We can find that in multiple other things or have that in multiple... This is just, like... Yeah, it's kind of just annoying.
I think it leaves a bad taste.
It would have made... I think it would have made the movie much better because you would have had that, the whole romantic... tension element thrown in, whereas
I would make it more interesting for sure.
Without that, it was just like, okay, so she met this girl once,
and she's been like obsessed with this dragon that she told her about, and she's kept this like amulet from her, and she's like re-gifting it to her because she knew how much it meant to her. Like, there's just so many things.
It doesn't make sense.
So many things. And
I like how her, and she's so jaded for her whole life because she's like, I was betrayed one time. And I was like, all right, you were, okay, one time.
When
you're
you
fine.
Were kids, literally the girl was just listening to what her mom told her to do.
She was like, I was betrayed by a friend once, and now I'm very
cynical. They also had literally just met, like...
Yeah,
it
was...
The first time she betrayed her, like, they had literally just met, like, 2 hours before.
Right. Hey, they both didn't like math or something, you know,
but
some
they
very
both have been
thing.
Obsessed with each other for these 6 years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're both obsessed.
They're obsessed.
Yeah.
We can all just say it. It's there. You know, it's not even really subtext. Like, it's in the text. And
it's so weird because, and I guess the main point was like, people are going to be evils there and people are going to be jealous or whatever. I don't know. But there was no reason why this whole movie even had to happen, because there was nothing wrong with anyone's land before the gems got broken, before the one gem got broken. So
yeah,
why couldn't they have, couldn't they just do like a timeshare? Like, the gem kind of passes around each month, you
know?
Like,
there's a lot
it's
of
in
things
our,
that could
it's
work
ours
out.
For a month and then ours for this month.
I also don't really understand how like the dragons came back and how it worked when the humans like and
because,
the dragons came back.
Well, yeah, how come
the
dragons didn't come back the first time?
Well, yeah, and like maybe if the humans did it, maybe the humans don't come back, but the dragons do come back. Like,
oh.
I just have a lot of sequel. Questions about the way the universe functioned, the way the conflict functioned, the magic functions within the universe.
A lot of questions. I did like the fight scenes. I thought the very few fight scenes they had were well choreographed, and we could use more animated fight sequences.
Like that. Because, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed that they didn't do as much of that, because both of them had two good fight scenes, but they were both very short.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, actually, now it's going to be about the love, which, you know, you can have, but also you can have the fight scenes. Before we kind of wrap up, do you think that after both Mulan and then this, that Disney is going, like, that Premier Access, the Premier Access model is like a viable option for Disney for releasing movies. Do you think that, like,
yeah, I think they're going to keep doing it, at least as far as the pandemic is still happening in America, which will probably be a bit. I definitely think they need more popular movies like this to release to Disney Plus, besides kind of no-name movies. Hopefully with all this new content coming out that they announced at the previous Disney Expo, we'll get a lot more of that. I watch them because someone that shares my Disney Plus account with me gets them. I would not watch them or pay for them, or, you know, I would wait the 30 days otherwise.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that it feels kind of like Mulan and this were like a test run, because even this is not a proper, like a IP property. I think, and I know they've been really adamant about not doing this, but I think that if they did Black Widow on Premier Access, it would work fine.
I know.
Because they're making a decent amount of money overseas, and I'm assuming this is, I mean, I would love if Disney released the figures for how much this is made with Premier Access. Please, can you just give us the numbers? But I think it'd be fine. I don't think Black Widow has nearly as much pull as they think she has, especially now after, like, it's been, like, almost a year.
Yeah, I mean, if it had been, like, right after Endgame, sure. Yeah. I think that it would have really had a lot to say, and a lot of people would have been more excited about it. But, like, we're into other heroes now. Like, we've got other people that we're focusing on, and Black Widow is just on the back burner of that content.
Right, right. It's not like an Endgame kind of thing, or even like a Spider-Man movie where, like, people would come up multiple times to see it. I think it'd be fine. I mean, obviously, it'd be a bigger, a higher profile release, but, you know, I think they need that. I think $30, convincing people to spend $30 is hard. And I think that, but I think, like, for certain things, they would do it, which we've seen. I mean, if people pay $30 to watch the live action Mulan, they'll pay $30 to watch anything.
And I mean, like we talked about in our WandaVision episode, Marvel is one of those things that people do want to watch right away. And I think if they did that, a lot of people would be more likely to pay for it up front instead of waiting a month to watch it.
Well, FOMO, too. Like, you know, they've got to, like, people are like, oh, man, I got to watch this right now because everyone's talking about Black Widow. Like, no one's going to think about that with Raya the Last Dragon, because that's just not the kind of movie. Like, oh, I got to get it in on the Raya discourse.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could definitely make easily a good chunk of money. All right, so that's our review. We both give it 3 out of 5, I think. Definitely a light 3. Definitely a light 3.
I almost rated it 2.5, and then I was like, you know what? The kid with the soup, I give it
full star for him. He's
great.
Yeah,
full star for him. I did semi like the baby and the monkeys. I thought they were okay. I think they could have been utilized a lot better than they were. But I thought they were at least a little more interesting than the dragon and Raya.
Yeah. I thought it was just solid enough. Like,
so
it was just solid enough
them,
to be a movie,
I guess. And then
yeah, you know,
a star for the grain. I thought the score was nice too. So that
I honestly did not notice it at all. So
there we go.
I don't know if that's a good or bad
stars.
Thing.
Woo!
Where can they find us on other places besides their favorite podcasting platform?
Pasta? Favorite pasta platform.
Their favorite podcasting platform.
You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Search Secondhand Film Critics, and we'll pop right up. You can email us your thoughts on Raya and the Last Dragon, or any other thoughts in general that you have about the podcast, at secondhandfilmcritics@gmail.com.
Next episode. What's our next episode? Is it another
it's
Disney property?
It's going to be Justice League in the
DC
Snyder
property.
Cut.
A
so
double
we've
review.
We've been nailing on the Disney, and now we get to
Warner Brothers.
Yeah, Warner Brothers. I was trying to remember who it even was. Gosh. So, talking about the original Justice League, which you hate.
My least favorite movie. It's your least of all time. Movie. I haven't rewatched it, so maybe I'll change my mind. You know,
doubtful.
I'm going in with an open mind.
And then the four-hour Snyder Cut. I will not be on this episode, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You don't get to hear all my rants and opinions. But our good friend, Zach Smith Michaels from The Real Boys, who has been on the pod a couple times, he'll be co-hosting with Noah. So
wow. We'll both rip on it just enough. Like,
yeah,
it'll be
a really good time. Listen to the episode. I'm excited to hear it and not have to watch the 4 hour Snyder.
Yeah, you're kind of getting out of a good.
I know. I haven't even ever seen Justice League. So like I'm saving myself from 6 hours of torture. Sorry.
Yeah. I got six hours of great fun coming ahead of me in this week. So listen to that. Comes out next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, just like all of our episodes. And until next time, I am Noah.
And I'm Kayla.
And we're your second-hand film critics.